Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to begin right now with hymn number 695, 469 in the Red Book, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in Him. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in Him.
Our epistle reading for this 15th Sunday, 16th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Philemon, the only chapter, verses 1 and 10 to 21. Philemon is a slave owner who had a slave, Onesimus, who ran away from him. This book does not address the subject of slavery, but it doesn't have the Apostle Paul. Onesimus was a slave who ran away, who ended up being a good servant for the Apostle Paul, but Paul, because Onesimus was rightfully a slave, sent him back to Philemon, and he asked Philemon to to treat him not so much as a slave, but as a Christian brother. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Alleluia. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33, a reading in which Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship, and he wants us to be aware of that cost and to show that our faith is something that we consider very worth it, even with the costs. Well, it's more than very worth it, because it means our eternal salvation. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It's talking there, maybe especially thinking of if relatives would get in the way of our faith, well, then we'll want to separate ourselves from them so they can't hurt our faith. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. And when he's talking about giving up everything we have, well, ultimately it's saying that Jesus, our faith, that's truly our dearest treasure. Let's sing our next hymn, hymn number 797, 403 in the Red Book, I Know My Faith Is Found.
I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand upon his word. Our reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound. Who trusts in worldly wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient, it makes divinely sure. And trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure. Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. But Lord, with you beside me, I shall be undismayed, and led by your good Spirit, I shall be unafraid. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith bestow. Then I shall bid defiance to every evil foe. In faith, Lord, let me serve you, through persecution, grief, and pain, should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain. And then at my departure, at home with you I'll be, and there will I inherit all you have promised me. In life and death, Lord, keep me until your heaven I gain, where I by your great mercy the end of faith attain.
The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 to 12, where Solomon wrote, "Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow Christians who have been blessed with wisdom from our Lord, many years ago, there was an elderly man who took a class at the University of Berlin. It was an unusual sight to see this smaller, white-haired gentleman sitting among the 19 and 20-year-old students. But what was most unusual about the fact was that this elderly gentleman was Alexander von Humboldt. He lived from 1769 to 1859. But he was a, at the time, well-known German naturalist and scientist. in, here he was sitting in this college classroom. And in fact, during one lecture on physical geography, what happened is that the professor of the class, who was an eminent scholar himself, he quoted as his authority Alexander von Humboldt in that lesson. Well, when Alexander von Humboldt was asked why he was there, why he was taking that class, he replied, "To help me review what I had neglected in my youth." With such a hunger for knowledge, he wasn't too proud to take notes and sit there with those young 19 and 20 year olds, with his younger classmates. The desire to learn about our physical world is something that is commendable, but nothing is more important than to keep on increasing in our knowledge of God and His Word, so that we keep growing in our faith and growing always closer to our Savior, so that we can fight the good fight of faith, and the Holy Spirit can give us the help and the strength that we need to keep on fighting the good fight of faith and live as the children of God that we are. In our reading for today, King Solomon wrote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Solomon, of course, is saying here that true wisdom is knowing who the Lord is, knowing about His plan of salvation. And, well, even though there's a lot of information that we can glean from the Scriptures, yet the fact of the matter is that we can never know everything about God, even in heaven. I doubt that we'll know everything about God, because God will remain God and we will be holy people, but God will still be God and we'll be people. We won't be gods. So God still will be above us. Well, in this life, there's always room for us to learn more about our God, to learn more about His plan of salvation, and to keep growing in our faith. And our reading reminds us that no matter where we are in our knowledge about God, we really just only have the beginnings of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And since we're only at the beginning of our knowledge like that, really what this reading encourages us to do is to pray to God and say, "Lord, keep giving us true wisdom. Keep building us up, strengthening us in our faith. Help us always to know You better." So as we pray, "Lord, give us true wisdom. Keep giving us true wisdom," let's consider, well, first the foolish person, and then the wise person. Last Sunday, we looked at another proverb of King Solomon as he warned us against pride and encouraged us toward Christian humility. Well, today, we have a couple proverbs that encourage us to seek true wisdom. And actually, if you think about it, these proverbs are really basically speaking along the same lines, because as we seek true wisdom, what are we doing? We are confessing, well, we're showing our humbleness that we don't know everything, that there's more that we need to learn. We're confessing that we don't know everything, that we desperately need God to keep on giving us knowledge about Him and His plan of salvation, so that we would be truly wiser, or growing in our wisdom anyway. Solomon says here, "Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you." By a mocker here, Solomon is referring to the person who thinks that he is really smart, who thinks that he is always right, who isn't at all afraid to let other people know how smart he thinks he is, And what Solomon is saying really that that person is a fool, because any really wise person knows that he isn't all wise. He knows that he isn't infallible. He knows that he will make a mistake. He will make plenty of mistakes. If someone is a fool, if he has such a high opinion of himself, well, if a person is like that, Solomon is letting us know how futile it would be for us to try to rebuke or correct that person if he'd happen to be wrong. Unfortunately, in our lives, we've all probably played the part of the fool and the part of the person who tries to correct the fool when he made a mistake. We've been a fool because of our sinful pride, because we have that sinful pride that doesn't want to confess the mistakes that we have made. And we've all tried to correct a fool, which is really just as foolish as being the fool, or perhaps even more foolish than being the fool, because then we're trying to help someone who has refused our help. Solomon says, if you are a mocker, that is, a fool, you alone will suffer. And how often haven't our own foolish actions brought us all kinds of grief and trouble in this life? That's why we need to keep on praying, Lord, keep giving us true wisdom. We need wisdom from the Lord, definitely in a spiritual sense here, and we don't want to think spiritually foolishly, because the result would end up being our eternal punishment. Perhaps we could think of the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Tragically, they seemed to think that they knew it all, at least many of them did, that they were perfect and better than everyone else. And what they really wanted Jesus to do is to commend them for their good works, to say, wow, you guys are just doing wonderful. You surely are going to have a place in heaven because of the wonderful way that you live your lives. Well, Jesus knew that they were foolishly trying to gain heaven by their own good works, by trying to be good enough to be acceptable to God. So Jesus warned those Pharisees, and Jesus warned his followers to watch out for the Pharisees, so that the Pharisees' foolishness wouldn't end up leading them astray. One thing we can notice in Jesus dealing with the Pharisees is that in reality, he never really went after them to attack them. Now, there were plenty of times when he felt it necessary to rebuke them, but he never really went after them to attack them. In his ministry, what Jesus didn't try to do is force his message on anyone. He mainly dealt with those people who wanted to hear his message, basically people who knew their sin, who knew their weaknesses, who knew that they deserved God's wrath and punishment, and he built them up with the gospel. He was always looking for people who wanted to listen to him. And may God help us so that we don't ever claim to be so wise that we don't need to regularly and often and repeatedly hear what Christ says to us in his word. If we thought we were so smart and we knew it all in God's eyes, then if we felt we didn't have a need for the word, then ultimately, or that we'd had enough of the word, then ultimately we would be the fools that Solomon is talking about here. We need to regularly, often, and faithfully, repeatedly hear what Christ has to say to us in his word, and because that word, it alone is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And without the word, we don't have that power. Solomon said, Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. A really wise person ultimately knows that he isn't always right, that he does and will make mistakes. He knows that it's also important to listen to others, what others say, because they might have good advice to offer him. Oh, maybe an example here. When a wise man is stopped by the police, and he's stopped by the police, and the police officer tells him that he happens to have brake lights that aren't working. Well, the wise man doesn't get angry at the police officer for stopping him. He appreciates the fact that the wise man stopped him and, well, maybe by stopping him, helped him so that he didn't end up becoming involved in a serious accident because people following him didn't know that he was braking. In our spiritual lives, likewise, there will be times when God's word and our fellow Christians will have to rebuke us because, spiritually speaking, maybe we have a brake light out. Maybe there is something in our lives where we're wandering away from God. Maybe there's a specific sin that we need to be rebuked for and corrected so that we're led to repentance. And under those circumstances, we need our fellow Christians to talk to us and show us our sin and show us our need to repent and show us our need for God's help. When God's word or our fellow Christians would feel the need to rebuke us, let's not be like the foolish person who thinks he's always right, who isn't ready to listen to advice from others. Rather, let's look at ourselves on the basis of God's word, and if we've broken God's law, and maybe it's better to say not if, but when we break God's law, let's confess our sin, ask for forgiveness and for the Holy Spirit's help to correct our sinful life and to study the Word of God more, to see its guidance and its help in our lives so that we can be better Christians. And now see, when we react to that and don't think that we're holier than thou, but accept rebukes when needed, when we respect the what God's word says, what our fellow Christians would tell us in warning, well, then we're showing ourselves to be truly wise. Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Solomon here almost seems to be saying that we're really smart if we're scared to death of God. Now, it's true that we should fear God's wrath. Our Savior did say, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." However, remember here that Satan isn't the one who can destroy soul and body in hell. It's our Savior himself who will judge us and all people on the last day. And then what our Savior will do is condemn all those who have rejected him. He will condemn those who have rejected him to everlasting condemnation. So we should fear God's wrath, anger against sin. But the fear that Solomon is talking about here when he talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's referring to so much more than just God's wrath. Actually, by the fear of the Lord, what Solomon is talking about is referring to the great respect that we're wanting to have for our Lord, for who he really is. He is that God who, yes, hates sin and demands that all sin be paid for, and if it isn't paid for, in some other way, a person would have to face eternal condemnation without his sins being paid for. But our God is also the God who loves us for Jesus' sake, who in his grace and mercy sent his Son to live and die for us and pay for all of our sins. And he sends also the Holy Spirit to us, who cannot by our own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ our Lord and come to him. He sends the Holy Spirit to us to call us to faith, to build us up in the faith, and to keep us in the faith. And now see, that's the kind of God that we can really respect and love and, well, fear. Have that proper respect for. And that's the kind of God about whom we're going to want to learn as much as we possibly can. Not as little as we can, but as much as we can through our own private Bible study and through the Bible study and worship opportunities that are available for us here at our church. Solomon said, "For through me," that is through wisdom, "your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you." When we are wise, that is when we live a life that's motivated by faith in Jesus, when we humbly confess our sins, our weaknesses, and what we deserve because of our sins, and we ask God for his forgiveness, and we ask the Holy Spirit for his help to build us up and strengthen us in our faith and to help us to be better Christians, then years will be added to our life. And now understand that that doesn't necessarily mean a longer physical life, but when we're living in faith, those years of our lives are really living. When we are not living in faith, well, then those lives aren't really living. But when we're living as children of God, growing as children of God, then we're really living. We're really living now, and we'll be really living forever with our Lord in heaven. A cartoon by a well-known artist in a large metropolitan newspaper depicts two students at their desks. One young man is occupied with this huge stack of books that is in front of him, labeled "Books to Prepare for Life." And next to the other student, there's but one book, and it is tagged "The Book to Prepare for Eternal Life." And this is the thought-provoking question of that cartoon. Student, how wise are you? And now see, that's a good question for us also to consider. How wise are you? How wise are we? Well, by God's grace, we know that Jesus is our Savior. We know that God wants us to dedicate our lives to his servant. So let's pray, Lord, keep giving us true wisdom. Help us to be like Alexander von Humboldt, who wanted to keep on growing in his knowledge of science. Lord, help us to keep on growing in our knowledge of Jesus, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and knowledge of him and his word and his amazing love for us, and help our lives to show that God has made us wise by our desire to be close to our Savior and his word. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, you call us into fellowship with each other and into your church's service. Be with us in times of difficult decisions and grant us the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Help us always to have a tremendous desire to grow in our knowledge of our Savior, of his word, of everything that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done for us. Help us to see the times when there's foolishness in our lives. Help us look to your word for the wisdom that only it can give to us. And Lord God, we pray today, thinking about Nina Olson, former member of our church who has been called home to heaven. We thank you for the grace and mercy you've given to her, calling her to faith, making her one of your believing children. We ask you please to keep on watching out for all of us with our trials and troubles and tribulations in this life. We think of all those on our prayer list. We keep thinking of Deb Spitzley, Christine Dries, Paula Burris, Linda Hazy, Diane Kennedy, Roberta Waldron, Colleen Webb, more than are called on our prayer list. We think of Nathan Vanderly, who had his tonsils removed this past week. We ask you, dear Lord God, to please, if it's your will, with those who have different earthly physical ailments, grant healing if that's your will, but grant to all of us always more that wisdom that your word can only give. Give us that fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Help us always to want to grow and be strengthened in our faith in our Savior Jesus. And in his name we gather up all other prayers as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. Mentioned that Nina Olson had passed away. Her funeral will be in Charlotte at Green Funeral Home. Green Burkhead, I believe, is the full name of that. And the funeral will be at 1 o'clock, I believe, on Wednesday. You might want to check that to make sure. Or check with me later on, and I'll check on that myself. Monday and Tuesday, I will be at a fall pastors conference at Trinity Lutheran Church in Saline. Well, Tuesday we'll have our catechism class like usual at 4:00. I'll be back for that. Sunday today is Rachel Lowry's birthday. Tuesday, Isabel Hansel has a birthday, and that's also Burr and Elizabeth Webb's anniversary. Wednesday is Mary Glassbrook's birthday. Saturday, Rose Doty has a birthday. Did have the opportunity on Friday to see Colleen, and she's doing pretty well. Problem with her not having her eyesight, of course, and not being too sturdy, stable on her feet right now, but she is looking a whole lot better than when I had seen her a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, please keep everybody in your prayers, and thank you again for worshiping with us today. The Lord bless and keep you always.